You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 all you entertainment holics out there in Radio Land. It is time yet again for another thrilling, exciting installment of, you guessed it, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, coming at you live each and every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time. That's 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, only on LA Talk Radio. We are syndicated and distributed on the following: iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iTunes, Spotify, Audible, Spreaker, Podbean, Block Talk Radio, Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Sonos, Deezer, Radio Line, CastBox, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Geo7, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, RSS.com, Overcast, Anchor, and Breaker. We're on so many fucking sites, I've run out of breath just trying to say them. Anyway, we are also on YouTube, Vimeo, Twitch, TikTok, and Instagram television. And of course, our wonderful Sony family, who we love so much. We are also distributed by Sony Music Entertainment, Sony Music Publishing, The Orchard by Sony, Art 19, BMG, and of course our wonderful friends at 5050 Global Music Incorporated, who got us with Sony. We love you. Shout out. We manage the following bands and artists from around the world: Maze from England, Dirty Machine, Scott Plant, Freak Show, which, look, if you notice, I got a Freak Show t-shirt on. Always plug in your bands. Always got to plug your bands. Of course, Jocelyn Sky, DJ King J, who was our guest last week on our episode of Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. And of course, Our Frankenstein, Berserk, Hollywood Nightmare, Cleaver from Santiago, Chile, Thomas the Red, that crazy, nutty Viking comedian. Go check him out here in LA as he pulls out swords and more swords and some more swords. And of course, maybe a purple dildo if you're lucky. Of course, we have Star Daddy, Vo Kills, Wicked Star, Band of Family, author, screenwriter, China Myers. Hell yeah. We've got actor, producer, Derek Webb, Mortis the Devil's Reject, Lillian Mortis, the Scream Queen, sci-fi movie actress. And of course, we've got the Borderline Radio Show with your DJs, Carol Dyack and Bruce Blaine from Italy. We've got metal band Fallen Fury from San Luis Obispo, California. Black Sabbatha, which is a female-fronted Black Sabbath tribute. Dawn Marlowe, High Priestess. She'll read your tarot cards, read your future. She did it with China.
She did.
Spot on. And of course, we got Lisa O'Neill, actress. Burn the Ships. Aussie Train. Jeans Addicted. Boffy, a.k.a. Adam Nuke. He plays with fire and all kinds of other crazy stuff. And of course, Tekatesha with Green Jello, a.k.a. Lucas Humphrey. And now, of course, we have a new artist that we're working on signing called T Puma. That's T P U M A. And then, of course, we're about to manage suppressed intentions. We are, certain people can get pissed at me for that one. Suppressed intentions. I don't care, dude. It's about business. It ain't about personal shit. It's about the business. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Son? So, you know what I mean? It ain't about personal shit. It's about business. And then, of course, we have a band from Canada that we're in the works on procuring as well, which will put us over 30 artists and bands from around the world. We got England. We got the United Kingdom locked down. We got Italy locked down. We got Chile and South America locked down. So we're in the worst. And Jenny is overwhelmed and needs help. So if you'd like to intern with Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. Hit me up at Jennifer DeVoe Muse. Just hit me up. We need interns. I need some motherfuckers to sit there and plug shit and post about some shit and do some work for me. I may have some money to pay you. We'll see. I live in Los Angeles, so I'm on a limited budget. You know what I mean,
yeah,
it costs you fucking much to live here. But we are your hosts, Jennifer DeVoe Muse and James Muse, aka Jenny and the Muse. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever social media is happening. And of course, check us out at Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, Get Real Global Entertainment LLC, and all of our other Get Real Global products, such as Get Real Global Booking Agency, Artist Management, and whatnot. And, of course, we have the incredibly talented author and screenwriter, China Myers, in the house. One of our wonderful co-hosts from Pennsylvania. And at home sick, unfortunately, shout out to Derek Webb, actor, producer.
Derek. Get well, Derek.
He's a radio host. He's an actor, producer, and an all-around nice guy and father of four and a good husband to Teresa. He's watching from home. He really not feeling very good. And he got tested for the flu, but they said it wasn't that. So they're thinking it may be COVID. So they're waiting for the test results to come back. So please get better really soon. And we're hope that you and the family are okay there, Derek. But because of him, we have tonight's guest, director, editor, award-winning filmmaker. I had to throw that the fuck in there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Award-winning filmmaker who is also with the Sony Entertainment family in the house.
Hey. AKA Dark Infinity, right?
Yes. This man's with everything. He's put out a lot of good stuff, I tell you what. And we're very happy and proud to have you on the show this evening. How you doing today, Dustin? How's it going?
I'm doing good, despite everything that's going on in the world. I've been safe, and I'm good, and I'm happy, that's and I'm good. Working.
Where are you calling in from? You in the L.A. area?
Yeah, I'm like an hour south of L.A. proper. Okay. I'm in Murrieta.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I saw all the wonderful pictures with you and your husband. I love it. I love that you like a family dude. You got the, you know, you guys got any kids? You got any dogs? I don't know what you got.
Two cats.
They're a cat family.
Well, mine's a Bengal, so you know she's an exotic.
Really?
Cat. I love her to pieces. Yeah, she'll probably pop up in the shot at some point.
Very nice. We love it. We want to see the kitties.
Yeah, definitely.
Want to see the kitties?
Where did you get that Dark Infinity from? What's up with that?
Okay, so I've done a lot of movies. I've done 116 movies.
And damn.
When I got to like 75, I was like, maybe I should start a director's name.
So, maybe. Just maybe.
Yeah, after like all these movies, I'm like, oh, maybe I should do it now. And so I went with, it took forever to decide. I wanted to be really symbolic with the name. And so Dark Infinity represents, dark is the dark nature of the films that I make. And Infinity is because I never stop. Like, I'm obviously just going to be making movies till I die. So,
you got tons of music videos out there, too. Yeah. I saw that you've directed and edited like tons and tons of music videos for many, many artists out there. You want to share with us some of the people that you have worked with?
Well, it was like 100, right? And I know you can't name all of them, but it's give us some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of the ones people probably have heard of is like KMFDM, My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult, Lord's Blasted. Egyptian Lover. I mean, obviously a lot. So
you've been around since The Crow. You've been around since The Crow, the movie The Crow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult.
Yeah. Well, they came out even before that. Yeah. They really blew up when The Crow came out. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love that. That was one of my favorite songs from that movie soundtrack. So
yeah. After the Flesh, I think it's called.
Yes. Yep. Great band, great music. And I love the fact that you do that.
I hate to digress, but on The Crow, wasn't that Bruce Lee's son that was in that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
Brandon Lee, who also unfortunately passed during the making of that.
Oh, yeah.
He was killed during the making of the movie. And I saw that you worked with Bai Ling. I saw you worked with Bai Ling, who's also been in The Crow. So that's pretty badass.
And what was that like working with Bai Ling?
What's that? What was it like working with her?
What was that like working with Bai Ling?
She's wonderful. She's a ball of energy. Like, it was this whole funny situation where, you know, I had to pick her up on the way to the studio and I'd never been to her place. And so it took us forever to figure out where each other were. And so it was like this awkward start to the day. But then as soon as I picked her up, it was just like, she was so full of energy. And she was really, I guess I could say, impressed with the way that we did the shoot, because I told her, I was like, I only going to need you 2 hours. I promise 2 hours to do all your scenes. And we did. We knocked them out really quick. Wow. When we were done, she's like, I want to hire you to make like all this stuff for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't blame her. Do you know how hard it is to get somebody to do something in 2 hours or less in the movie industry in LA?
I know.
My God. It's crazy.
I'm learning that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been on a lot of sets, and I'm telling you, like, just doing a talk show, it could be 3 hours.
Well, and that's why I, in a way, I am so prolific, because people want to keep coming back because they know I'm not going to waste their time. They're like, if I tell them, hey, come over for an hour, we're going to kill you, you'll be in this movie that comes out to Walmart, bang, you know, they'll come and do it. And then they know it really happens and they'll come back.
It's going to happen. You're going to make it happen.
I have a question. Can you kill me in a movie? Because I really want to be in movies, and I live in Los Angeles. I'm working on being in some James Balsamo movies.
Okay.
James Balsamo, but he's a nutty motherfucker. He's involved with Lillian Mortis and also with Derek Webb and a bunch of other people. So I'm sure you know who he is. Yeah, but like, I would love to be in your movies too, Dustin, because
me too.
I always need victims. I mean, I make about a movie a month, so
you don't even have to pay me.
Yeah.
Just give me a credit on some shit. I don't care. Like, I'm not that type of person. I just want to build my resume.
Me too.
Yeah, we just want to build a resume. We got you. We're on it. Look, see, speaking about lighting and black people, I'm not. Maybe. Hey, what's up? We got guests. So they want to talk to you. They want to say, hey, what's up?
How are you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
China was talking earlier about lighting. And being a black person, spot lighting is even more important.
It's not easy.
Well, he's a beautiful silhouette against the sun.
He is, isn't he? And he's wearing an amazing Band of Family t-shirt.
Love it.
Check out Band of Family everywhere.
Right.
Get Real Global Artist Management.
So your newest movie is Adacancho. How's it go? How do you pronounce it?
Arachnado.
It's like short. It's like Sharknado, but they're doing it with
a year ago. Literally like over 10 movies ago.
Oh, damn. Wow.
But it hasn't come out yet. Well, it had a limited release, and it's about to have the wide release. So you could say
Arachnado.
That's why I had a hard time finding a trailer. I really did.
Yeah. I did all of these movies during 2020 when the pandemic happened. They were actually called the Pandemic Series. And they were these high concept, low budget movies I was busting out every few weeks. And Arachnado was part of that series. It was literally spiders and tornadoes. And we did two of those. And so Wild Eye Releasing has those, and they'll be coming out pretty soon.
I so got to watch that. Oh my God.
Oh, it was cool. I watched it. I liked the first guy when he was like, what the hell is that? I mean, he said
it's all about the cheesy one liner.
Yeah. The first one was the best, though. I thought that was just an amazing movie.
It really was.
So that's awesome. So you're doing In the Hood series.
I didn't watch any of them. They were good?
Yeah, the first one's really good. I mean, it's an urban, like, kind of creep show. It's really, it's very 90s.
So did you film in Compton? Did you film in Compton?
We did.
Oh, my God, he filmed in Compton.
The plot is they're growing marijuana in the Amityville house now in the basement. And so there's these rival gangs between the east side and the west side. And they fight over it. And the west side gang ends up stealing the weed and bringing it to Compton and then selling it on the streets. And the weed is possessed because it's from the Amityville house. So everybody that smokes weed gets possessed. It's awesome. It's so much fun.
I need to watch that. Did you see Evil Bong? with Tommy
Chong. Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, my God, dude. It's like kind of like on that level, like with the weed being possessed.
It's very self-aware. There's a lot of weed jokes and everything.
Dude, that's awesome. Speaking of weed, go to your nearest dispensary and get this. Oh, well, I got this vape pen online. And then, of course, last night I went and bought me a new vape cartridge. So, you know, Jenny's real talk on the block. So
only we endorse about 520 now. As a stoner, you're an hour late.
Well, I try not to be, especially to my own concerts and events and whatnot. But
yeah, you
know,
got too much to be on top of.
Oh Jesus! Yeah, I got just way too fucking much shit going on. Yeah. So I said I need some interns. We need some stuff going on because holy shit.
Yeah.
Crazy. I wish I could crank shit out as fast as Dustin here, though. Goddamn, a movie every few weeks. Like, that's badass.
I'm telling you.
Hats off to you, sir.
Hats
you
off.
You are a badass of the movie industry.
Yeah.
Dude.
Where do you get the money from to do all these movies?
That's just the thing. I'm able to make them on a low enough budget that we make a profit every time. And so I can take the profit from that and invest in the next one.
So as a movie, I want to make movies of my own. Mm-hmm. So how do you get a budget going on?
Right.
So in my current situation, what I have going on is I do around 4 or 5 movies a year for a company called Wild Eye Releasing. They buy the one I buy. Typically do is I spend half the money as on the film, and then half the money is my pay, which is like what pays my rent and my bills.
Right.
The leftover money can go into my own independent projects I'm doing in between for my own company, SCS Entertainment. So
That's badass.
Yeah, so I have like the 4 or 5 bigger movies, so I can do the like 8 or 9 smaller movies in between that I fully own and can license out to different companies, put on VOD channels, put out on Blu-rays. I can do whatever I want with, and then I just own them for forever.
I see you're on like Tubi and some other sites. Yeah.
And streaming is so surprisingly lucrative, like way more than physical sales. Like that's
really,
oh yeah. Like not even night and day, like completely different. Like I will release a movie on Blu-ray and literally sell like 15 of them or something on my own. But then I can put something on VOD and potentially make 15,000 in a month.
Wow. That's amazing. I need to learn from this man right here.
Yeah.
Dustin's the shit. Between him and James Balsamo, man, I may actually have a shot at making movies.
Yeah. Well, it's all about just being ahead of the curve. You know, technology is always evolving, and if you're not willing to adapt to it, you kind of just fall off. You know what I mean?
You have to adapt to everything, whether it's radio, movies, television, whatever
They got this new thing that just came out. It's called Interverse. Did you hear about it? You'll be actually able to go in a movie and interact with the characters. It's called Interverse or something. It's just funny.
Like it'd probably just sound really VR crazy. Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah. Holy it's crap. Called wow. Interverse or Interverse or I forget, but it's
like the pandemic has sort of changed the whole movie industry. You know, like they're now movies that used to go to theaters come straight to VOD and like they're doing all these things that are like, you know, you can do from home, you know, and I think that's probably just the next step.
Yeah, wow. It really is. Yeah.
That's crazy that they got all this stuff going on now.
I kind of feel sorry for people own theaters, you know, because
I know they're really struggling.
They're starting to struggle, which is sad because the whole reason of going to the movie theater is to have that experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, you use it as a date night. You use it to take your kids out. It was used for a lot of different things, but now you can do it at home, you know?
Yeah. It's just different going to the movie theater because it's like a whole experience. Like you
it
go
costs
down there.
So much to go, though.
It does. Well, that's why we go to second run movie theaters.
You gotta sneak your own M&Ms in. Like,
how about it? I was just thinking about that. I used to have a big black bag.
You family man. And you, your wife, and you got 2 kids.
No,
man,
what is,
I mean, to have a good night at a movie, man, it's going to cost you about $150.
For real.
That's stressful. You don't want
to
do that.
Before the pandemic, I went to the movies and with my daughter, and I heard this guy in line. He had like 3 kids. And he was like, I can't believe I just spent $80. Like, because they were buying M&M's and Jujubes. I was like, y'all should
have like $10 a piece, too.
Yeah. No, but this is why you go to the second run movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait until the movie's been out like a few weeks or whatever. And you go like on Sunday in North Hollywood or whatever. And you go to this movie theater where on a Sunday or a Tuesday, it's like $2.
Well, and that's where it's at. That's exactly where it's at. The revival is the niche aspect, like playing old movies, or like the drive-ins are making a comeback now because you can watch them from the comfort of your car.
Right.
And so they just kind of like figure out a way to work around it. You can still have movie theaters if it's like, oh, I can go watch the original Freddy Krueger movie, and I couldn't normally do that before. I go to the theater to see that.
No, that's really smart. That's really smart to show old movies like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this, Dustin? Like, when did you start making your first movies?
It's been exactly 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a long time. So you know a lot of stuff. Now, question. Here's a question I had for you. Mm-hmm. Now, a Clint Eastwood movie, how it's shot, and let's say a B movie, are the different lenses that that Clint Eastwood would use as opposed to someone else? How do they get like such a clear, movie screen type of look?
It's not necessarily the equipment, it's the post-production equipment. What you do with color grading, and like we talked about the lighting, like you want to, what a lot of people don't understand is frame rates. Like for action scenes, there's three different main frame rates. There's 23.97, there's 25, which is British, what they do in the UK, and then there's 29, which is the typical one we use here. Films that have fast action sequences shoot in the 23 frames, because then it has that sort of like jittery, fast action-y look, which gives it that bigger budget look. And that's what films are made on. Like movies that used to be shot on film are all 23.97 frames. Stuff now is all shot digitally, which is 29 frames. So it looks more like a home movie almost when it's shot raw. And you have to do all these things in post, which are what the Hollywood movies are doing to make it look more like a big budget. Like they gave it that green look where it looks all like stark contrast, like the Saw movies or something. That's just like a filter. That's nothing else different than what anybody else can do. Okay,
so it's basically after they're done with the shooting the movie, they do filters.
Yeah. In layman's terms, it's filters, it's color grading and shading. Right. It's sort of like the initial image you shoot is just the template for what you're going to go in and do afterwards. And so you have to have a really good eye for that. You know, like when you're shooting, you need to know like, well, when I go and color treat it, it's going to look like this, or it's going to be a little bit darker or a little bit brighter. So you have to always keep that in mind.
So editing.
Yeah.
So it's all up to editing after everything's done.
Yeah, and that's the difference. And that's really what it is. That's the difference between someone that's doing indie movies that doesn't know that's just putting it out themselves, versus someone like me who's doing the exact same thing but can get it out in stores because it looks like a real movie to most people.
Yeah.
Well, very nice.
You're very talented, because like I said, I watched, what was it, Nemesis 5. I watched a little bit of that.
Right.
I watched the...
He's old.
That was my first sci-fi movie.
I don't know why I can't say this word. It's crazy.
That was your first Arachnido. That was your first sci-fi movie, huh?
Yeah, I'd only done horror movies up to that point, and that was the first time I left the horror genre, and I had to
Thank you so much for all the horror movies.
Yeah.
Because that's my favorite genre. That's my favorite genre of everything, of book, movies, television shows, video games. That's my favorite genre for everything is horror.
And kudos to you for Sleepaway Camp. Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, my God. That is one of the best.
That was the only goodie. I loved it.
That was one of the best movie series ever is the Sleepaway Camp movie series. I literally, because I saw you say about the number four, I went back this last week and watched Sleepaway Camp 1, 2, and 3 just to be like, fuck yeah.
2 and 3 are awesome. I love two
dude,
and three.
Those are my favorite fucking movies ever from like the 80s and shit. Great They're the job. Best.
Great job.
Yeah, really good job, dude. I love how you're taking some of these older series and like making
that's what
new
broke
stuff
me into the industry. Yeah, I was doing working on Sleepaway Camp 4 that got my name out there, and that's what launched my.
Oh wow! Now, did you do the Amity series as well, Amityville?
I did. I've done three of them. Yeah, I did Amityville Toy Box, Amityville Clown House, and then Amityville in the Hood.
Okay.
Okay. Very
and who
nice.
Who was that kid? I'm digressing again. Who was that kid that was yelling in Sleepaway Camp? He was like freaking out on those kids on the roof.
Oh, yeah. His name's Tiersten something. Yeah, he's a doctor. He still does indie movies, actually.
Wow. Really?
He was good. Wow.
Still around. Yep.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I'm thinking this kid is really doing great.
Right? Oh, now, I got a couple of clients. I got a couple of clients that would be great for your movies. Lillian nice. Mortis and
she's already been in my movies.
Huh?
Lillian's already been in one of my movies. She was in
Oh, that's
Zombie
right.
Which, yeah.
Oh, right, right, right. That's oh my god, I forgot that was your movie. Fuck yeah. That's badass. I saw she was with who's that dude she was in the scene with the on? Oh, yeah. I saw that. That was awesome, dude. Yeah, was, now, what's the name of the movie again? What's the name of the movie
it's
again?
Zombie 8. It's, the, you know, Lucio Fulci's Zombie, which is the
right.
Bed. Yeah.
Oh, that is so badass, dude. I love anything zombie related, of course.
Me too.
That's the shit. I want to be a zombie in a movie. I want to have the makeup on me, a leg behind me.
Yeah, me too.
See, I make a really great zombie, I swear to God. You need to cast me in your next zombie movie.
Dustin, you hear me and Jennifer. Don't forget to contact us because we will play in your movies.
Yeah, for free. You don't even have to pay me. You don't even have to pay me. I'll do it for credit. I really don't care. I just want some acting experience.
Fly me out to wherever you are, and I'm down.
Where do you live, China?
Pennsylvania, Allentown.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Thank goodness we've...
Really?
No. I mean, it's been nice. It's been nice. 50s. I mean, I don't know if global warming is real, but I'll tell you what, it's been warm here.
So you didn't get caught up in that whole thing that you see Virginia and there was cars looking, like stuck on the fucking freeway for like 19 plus hours or some shit with no food, can't go to the bathroom.
I would just die.
Oh my God.
Well,
that would be crazy.
Here. You got to look forward to some snow because it's coming.
Yeah. I'm from Maine, so I understand that shit. But to be stuck on a highway for like 19 plus hours,
when you're
I've never
even planning
that.
It. Like you don't happen to have food in your car, like paper, like
What do you do? I know.
Well, I'm sure we're just like not having a good time that whole time.
No.
Have you always lived in like California?
No, I don't know all about snow and tornadoes and the cold.
Yeah, definitely. It's cold up there.
It sucks. I don't, that's half the reason I moved here is for the warm climate. I need it.
Well, Dustin, like I said, if you can't afford the whole plane ticket, I'll put some in, brother.
We'll get you out here.
Okay. I want to kill somebody or die.
Yes. I want to kill people and die and be a zombie.
I'm telling you, I am one of those people, no matter what I do, I would do it to 150%. So I'd be... I would do my job.
The kind of people I like having around, you know, because it's a team effort. I don't make these by myself.
I've even gotten jobs and they're like, do you know how to do this? And I'm like, no. And they're like, well, we can't hire you. I say, hire me and I will promise you that I will give it 150%.
I will figure it out.
Jennifer, tell them.
Dude, I've been on tons of television shows and in like a Netflix movie, but it was like background acting stuff. Uh-huh. And like my daughter was a background actor for a while and she did like a ton of TV shows. I was in the Netflix movie with her. You can't see us in there because they just looped us all. They take a section of a crowd. They got like 30 people and then they make it look like they just keep looping you over.
Duplicating,
like,
yeah.
They keep duplicating us. So it makes it look like there's a whole stadium.
So was there like
full of
four or five
people.
Of you in it?
Yeah. And then
I
they just
how they do that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Dude, I'm like, fuck yeah. It makes you look like there's thousands of people in the fucking thing, but there's only like 30 of you. Fuck. That was crazy.
We did that with a zombie horde in my zombie film. We had to have all these zombies, a shot of them going down this LA bridge. So it's really about like 15 to 20 that were duplicated to be like 200.
And you wow.
That's so crazy. Neat.
That's probably what they do for like The Walking Dead. And,
it is. It totally is.
You know, all those types of fucking films because they just
trick
like,
to it because you know. They can do like they can add like artificial like dust in the wind and like overlay so you can't tell it's CGI. It like looks real.
Oh wow!
You know, it's just real clever in how they do it.
That's crazy. So you got some projects I see coming out shortly.
Yeah. What do you got coming going up? Coming up.
Well, finally, I was able to announce Quakeosaurus, which had it had Butch Patrick from the Munsters.
Yes, the Munsters.
And Stacey Malkin from Halloween 3.
Is that Eddie Munster?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to get my laugh. Oh, my goodness. I used to love that show.
Yeah. He's a really good guy. He's actually one of the stars. He's in it throughout my whole movie.
That's badass.
Cool.
Yeah. So that one, we just announced that one. And then... That what just came out to DVD was Murder Hornets. It was one of the pandemic movies I did, Murder Hornets. Okay. And so you can get that through everywhere. And then we're finishing Apex Predators 2 right now, which is a flying shark movie. The first one came out to it was my big Walmart movie that came out. And so this is the sequel.
Cool.
So it's like Sharknado, but like, you know.
Yeah. Well, so in the first one, the first movie is about like mutated sharks and they like evolve. And so the end scene of the first movie ends with like a giant shark over LA. And then for the second movie, they've mutated with flying fish and they can fly now. So they fly
I'm gonna look for that. Because I think I seen that. Were they on an island or something?
On the cover, yeah.
Yeah. What's the name of that shark one?
Apex Predators.
Apex Predators.
You can watch it free on Tubi. It's like on everything.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I heard of it. I just thought I was like, damn, flying fucking sharks, man.
Yeah,
I hope to God that never happens because, you know, living in L.A., we have enough sharks going on. We don't need any fucking flying fucking sharks over L.A. Yeah. I'm scared to even think about it.
But see, these are the, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, from the outside, I'm sure, like, these are my favorite kind of movies to make because it's
Mine too. They're my favorite kind of movies to watch.
Well, yeah, they're just fun. They're as fun to make as they are to watch. Like, I literally just can go with an actor and be like, all right, run around, act like a shark's attacking you on the beach. And they're just, like, running around and we CGI it all. You know, and it's just a lot of fun to do. It's goofy. And then it comes out really cool.
It kind of reminds me of those old school movies from, like, the 50s and 60s when they did, like, the, you know, like, the old school, like, horror and sci-fi type movies where you'd have, like, the giant... The giant spider or the giant...
That's exactly what it is. It's a modern version of that. It's exactly
like,
what it is.
What's that? The tomatoes.
Exactly the color tomatoes.
Yeah. That type of stuff. Like the crazy stuff. Like, you know, the shit like that Elvira would, you know, sit there and make fun of on screen.
Exactly. Dude,
like, I interviewed Elvira like 4 years ago. She's one of the nicest fucking people ever. She's I just love her so much. That's what I'm saying. Like, your movies kind of remind me of that, you know, old school, like, B-movie type feel. And I always love that. Like, you know, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah, exactly. Called,
like, Blood Diner featuring Carl Crew. Love you, shout out to Carl Crew.
Yeah, he was just in one of my movies.
Yeah, nice. Which one?
Yeah. It's called Space Sharks, and it had Eric Roberts in it.
I fucking love that. You and James Balsamo work with the same motherfuckers, I swear to God. Yeah. I love it. Next, you need a movie with Andy Dick. Don't tell me.
No. I was supposed to. So I worked on this thing called Now Smoking. It was a web series about weed, and it had Tommy Chung in it.
Yeah, I love Tommy. Hell yeah.
We were supposed to do an episode with Andy Dick, and like three different times he postponed. Everybody knows who knows him knows about him. And
Is that what he does?
He was probably in jail. At that time,
it was just like
smacking around a current boyfriend and/or girlfriend.
Yeah,
who
fucking
knows? Yeah. Look, we're
and
friends
I got time
with
for
Andy.
Kind of drama,
we're
you know
friends
what I mean?
With Andy. He's the crazy motherfucker, but we love him. And you know,
because I've seen him on set, like on James's stuff. Like they just put out a video a week ago, and then they're like, "Take 37." It's like I can't do that. Like
what?
No. Yeah.
No,
he's just so distracted, you know?
He's like, look at that shiny object. Hold on.
Yeah.
He's like a blonde. He's like a blonde. I'm a fake blonde because I dyed my hair. But a real blonde's like, oh my God, look at the bobble over there. It's a butterfly. Hold on.
Well, guess what? I was a blonde in another life, so.
See, that's the thing. I got two takes and I'm done. just time consuming. I mean, everybody else's time you have to consider too. Like all the other actors don't want to sit there and watch you mess up 40 times.
No,
exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Come on.
No. Yeah. I mean, first of all, you should come in knowing your lines and knowing what you got to do.
No matter who you are and no matter how big or small the role is, because it's just respect for everybody else that's involved.
Very true. Very, very true. That's a good point.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Well, what was some of the most difficult actors that you've had to work with?
I don't want to throw nobody out the
there, but fuck it. This is Jenny's real talk on the ball.
No, I'm not putting that out there.
Okay.
I will say that surprisingly, the bigger celebrities are easier to work with just because they're more experienced. They understand the routine. Mm-hmm. They show up, know the lines. Yeah, it's like, obviously, when you're dealing with people not knowing their lines, so, I mean, that comes with the territory. And so I've gotten to a point like with my films where we kind of have a solid team of people that are in all of them. Like I kind of rotate through different actors and in all the movies because they're people I can rely on that I know I can call them up like, hey, I need you to come over, run around the woods, get killed. They'll show up. I don't have to worry about it.
I want to run around in the woods and get killed.
Me too.
Everybody does.
I want to be the first one killed off, like a stereotypical black person.
Like the opening kill. Opening kill.
I want to die last.
Yeah, you should survive to the very end. You should not die. I don't want to kill you, girl. You're black.
Okay. Wait. You're going to be Teddy Biggs. You're going to be Tay Biggs and Murray the Haunted House. You're going to be Tay Biggs.
Tanya's the one that's going to be like, oh, hell no, I'm getting the fuck out of here and these ghosts. No.
She's the smart one. That would survive.
It'd be a stupid ass white people running upstairs in the basement, all that shit.
No, I'm like a black person in that aspect. I'm like a black person in that aspect. Oh, fucking hell no to that noise down in the basement.
Yeah, really?
I don't think so. Jenny not going in the basement. Go fuck yourself. I'm running to safety.
I'm running that way.
Yeah,
I'm gonna live.
For real. For real.
I'm going to live. I don't understand why white people gotta be so stupid in these movies. I just don't get it. It's like,
we're
really?
Too aloof. We just think everything's happy and perfect and no one's gonna hurt us. You know what I mean?
Billy, I'm about to go take a shower now. Well, Billy,
I'll leave the door unlocked. Babysitter.
Yeah. I'm leaving the door unlocked.
What's that?
Did you ever see the movie The Babysitter?
The Babysitter.
That's a badass series.
I don't think I did.
Yeah, too.
Well, watch it. Watch the second one, because that black guy in there is so funny.
Okay, I will.
Those are badass movies.
I know you're not killing me, because I don't die first.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. But that's about you, because you do those kind of movies. Listen, I'm here to tell you, and this is no bull crap, you're very talented.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We need to get you signed with Netflix as a regular fucking movie producer.
You're telling me.
I'm just saying, I want to submit you to Netflix and be like, you need to have this motherfucker on your shit.
Because you know what pisses me off with Netflix? Like, I've watched Netflix. I'm an avid Netflix watcher. But I like certain series, so that's my thing. Right. But what pisses me off with them is click on a movie, you'll be like, oh, this looks good. And they're not speaking English. Okay. Oh. I know you gotta help everybody out. But it's like, come on. We are in America.
Well, I'm surprised they don't even have an English track. I mean, anymore, really, you know, it is surprising.
Yeah, I don't understand it. And I'm sure, you know, America's the melting pot and everybody, you know, there's all kinds of people here. I get that. But this is America, because, you know, people have to acclimate. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, and that's interesting because, like, when I do a movie here for bigger distributors, you have to provide this thing called an M&E track, a music and effects track, so that way they can replace your audio and the language. So it's like a requirement here in America when you have a movie that sells to provide that so they can sell it to other countries. Most other countries don't do that, though.
That makes sense.
I guess what happens is they get all kinds of directors directing all kinds of movies from different countries. I get that, but we're in America. So in France, it should be in French, you know?
Right. Which it usually is. Yeah. Like anything from America is always dubbed in the native language. Almost anywhere.
Yeah. Even what was that movie with El Chapo? I mean, they dubbed it where they were speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is being filmed in America. Let's do it where the people are speaking English. And it was
perfect. Well, and that's an interesting point, because I don't know if you've heard of the movie High Tension from like 2003. Yeah, yeah. So that was a French movie called Hot Tension, and it did really well here, but it could have done better had it, the director said he really wished he filmed it in English, because he said when it got released here, they had to subtitle it.
I know what you're talking about. She was a lesbian killer?
Yeah, that was the twist. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like really surprising. It was like a sleeper hit here, but had that been done in English. Good. Yeah. Had it been done in English, way more people would have given it a chance, I feel like.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe he can remake it where it's in English.
Well, he went on to do the Hills Have Eyes remake, and he did a few other movies, and they were all in English after that. So
he did do it in English now. It is in English. If you look it up, it is in English now. But I know what you're saying. It wasn't at first.
Yeah, they had to dub it.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I think that's smarter, in my opinion.
You just got to know the market. I mean, yeah, you obviously can't release a movie in a language people don't understand.
Right,
you
know, right.
You have to consider that.
You got the majority. And on your TV, you can put it in other languages.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So leave it up to that person if that's what they want, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just the way I look at it. But, yeah, you're very talented. And I'm going to tell you something. You said you won an Emmy?
No, I'm trying to get a Guinness World Record.
For most movies made, right?
Most movies made, yeah.
Most movies directed. That's crazy.
Yeah. And apparently only like 20 movies away or something. So I'm obviously going to have it in like 2 years. You know.
Wow.
So,
nice.
That's awesome. And,
so what? Now, what awards have you actually won?
Yeah,
I won three Best Director awards. Two of them was for Nemesis 5, and then one was for Moon of the Blood Beast.
Wow.
Cool.
Very nice.
Do you think you might get a star on the star?
I want one. That's my goal. I took a picture from the blank one. I'm like, this is my future star.
Yeah.
You should submit, because I'm submitting Derek Webb.
Yeah.
And you have to submit for the 2023, the 2023 year to have your star. You have to submit by no later than like the second week of May of next year. To be considered for that. Well, and you've been in film for long enough.
Right? Huh? Someone has to submit you? Like, you can't submit yourself. Someone submits you, right?
Like, yeah, like you're you. Like, yeah. Like I'm an agent. I'm a talent agent and artist management. So I submit, like, let's say if I was to submit for Derek Webb, China Myers, anything like that for like radio or TV or movies or whatever.
So you're saying you can't himself.
Right.
Or your manager, your artist management company. So like, so Joe Williamson, your artist management company, he would submit for you,
right?
And I can send him the link to submit you for next year. Hell yeah! I'm gonna submit Derek. I'm submitting myself because in March I will have been on the radio for 10 years, and I contribute quite a bit to the industry for that. And you know, maybe someday I can know the link, and then he can submit you, especially with as many music videos and films that you have under your belt. He could submit you for the 2023, Inception for that. So that'd be badass if you got that. Hell yeah!
Yeah, that'd be real cool. Last question: what other film directors do you think you might be soon working with, or what other film directors have you worked with?
Well, you know, I think for any indie filmmaker, the goal is to be making studio films. So ultimately, I would love to work for a company like Lionsgate or Paramount or something
that,
because those are cushy. You know what I mean? It's like right now, it's very much the way a person that works a 9-to-5 who lives paycheck to paycheck. I sort of live movie to movie, you know, with these smaller films. Right. So it'd be nice to make something where I could put, you know, 100. That's a situation that I want for my life.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Clint Eastwood. I mean,
well, like, and a lot of people.
Corman.
Right. Yeah. And he had, I've found throughout time, there's many comparisons made between the way I'm doing things with my films and the way he does things. So I see myself as maybe becoming the new age version of that.
You're right.
At the same time, though, I don't know if that's necessarily what I want to be limited to, you know, because sure, I love low budget movies, but doesn't every director want to make that $1 million, you know,
exactly.
Mega blockbuster?
Yeah. So. And I don't know about you, but that's what I would shoot for if I was in your profession. Also, it's like, what's the guy who does the Marvels? Lee.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, Stanley.
Stanley.
Now
Stanley.
He passed away. Now they're making more Marvel's movies, but guess what? They're not the same.
Nope.
They're not. Yeah, the same. Man, I was really upset about the last couple. I didn't like them.
Yeah, I mean, I am a movie
like how that turned out. Man, they made
Funko Pop,
and I didn't like that.
Right.
They what? Say that again.
They made the Hulk a punk.
He was. He wasn't. He was. He became more human.
Oh, see.
And to me, that left the essence of the Hulk. The Hulk was hardcore.
Yeah. You know? The Hulk was taking pictures with people and shit. I'm like, what is this?
He was wearing glasses and.
Yeah, he was drinking coffee. I was like, wait a minute.
The Hulk
having conversations.
I would get mad at my kids, I'd say, you won't like me when I get mad. Like, that was the thing, you know?
All right, well, we got to wrap things up. We got like 2 minutes left, but want to thank you so much. This has been an amazing time with
filmmaker
Dustin Ferguson. Go check out his music videos. Go check out his movies. Now, where can people find you on social media and like your IMDb page and stuff like that?
Are you on LinkedIn?
I think so, because I keep getting requests for it.
Okay, because I'm going to message you on there so you have connection to get a hold of me.
I'll definitely get it. Like, and then so on Facebook, I have the blue check, so you know it's me. It's Dustin William Ferguson. And then on Instagram, it's under my rap account. It's The Only Dirty D on Instagram.
Okay, on Facebook, I'll do that, and I'll send you a message so you'll know it's me.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go watch some Dustin Ferguson movies.
Definitely. Yes,
please.
Definitely.
Like Arachnado and some of his other incredible stuff that he's got going out. But go check him out on Dustin William Ferguson on Facebook. You can probably get links to his IMDb page and everything else. So you can see the list of music videos and movies that he has created over the years.
I recommend watching Sleepaway Camp first, people.
Sleepaway Camp 4. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And 3, he has 3 Amityville movies out there. So go check out his projects. Like him, follow him. Whatever you got, I don't mean literally follow him. He doesn't need
don't
any more stalkers.
Me.
We don't need stalkers. We need likes, subscribers, and followers on all social media platforms.
And investors in your movie.
Yes, please invest. Send this
investors
man some money.
In your movie.
Send this man some money and help him to make new and amazing movies out there. Hell yeah. Next week on Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, we have Broninger McDaniel, a.k.a. Bronny, the Jazz Artist Music Podcast. Check her out. She is a Sony Music Entertainment artist, and we're keeping with the Sony Music family this week. Apparently, we had Dustin Ferguson, and then next week, we have Broninger McDaniel. Go check her out on her podcast. Go check out her music on Spotify and everywhere else that music can be listened to. And of course, subscribe to our YouTube page, which is Get Real Global Entertainment LLC, where you can see this episode, as well as many others from our radio shows, TV shows, and this year, many new things to come from Jenny. We have a lot of stuff going on. But thank you so much to author, screenwriter, Chyna Myers for being in the house with us today. Shout out to Derek Webb, who made this episode possible with award-winning filmmaker, Dustin Ferguson. But for now, peace out. We love you. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.